Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word that is before us on this Transfiguration Sunday is the account that is given in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him, or listen to him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. Your fellow redeemed by the blood of him who humbly came to the cross, or to the cradle that he might humbly die on the cross. Today marks the end of the Epiphany season of the church year. This is the time of the church year where we celebrate the revelation of Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, as the very Son of God from eternity. As we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord today and we climb the mountain with him, we mark the high point of his nearly three-year ministry by this time. And we say, Lord, it is good to bask in your glory. But first, let us glory in the cross with the eyes of a believing heart. In a sense, Jesus' ministry was all downhill from here. 8 days before, roughly a week, before the time of our text, Peter had confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the other disciples had done the same. But there was no pressure on them at that point, really, to say that. They were all by themselves walking along. But our Lord wanted them to understand clearly what it means to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He wanted them to understand what this all entailed, and so he told them that he would suffer many things in Jerusalem. He said, the Son of Man is going to be rejected by the elders of the Jews and leaders. And he told them that he must be killed. He said, and I will rise again from the dead on the third day. And right away, Peter began to argue with him. All this was a very hard saying for the disciples. Peter didn't want that kind of an outcome to the life of his teacher and his master whom he loved. We can guess the rest of the disciples felt the same way. So our Lord at this point in his ministry, as he's about to go downhill and suffer and die, he needs to show his disciples really what it's all about, and they need to be strengthened for the cross that lay ahead. They needed, first of all, to see that there is no glory here for them on earth. They needed to glory in the cross with believing eyes, because they certainly wouldn't see any glory in the cross here. And so it was that Jesus took the leaders of the apostles, Peter and James and John, up to the mountain to pray. That's what we're told. But as he was praying, this is a time for strengthening for him too, as he was praying, his face changed and his robe became bright as lightning, the scriptures tell us. Matthew says his face shone like the sun. Of course, this was the glory that belonged to Jesus, the Son of God, from eternity. But that's not all. Behold, there were two men who were talking with him. Moses and Elijah appeared in glory, somehow. And they spoke of the decease of Jesus that he would accomplish in Jerusalem. Moses was the mediator of the Old Covenant. as you heard in the lesson from Deuteronomy, there was no greater prophet than Moses. Elijah came along centuries later because Israel had for centuries been rejecting the gospel. And Elijah had to come and preach the law firmly and the gospel again to try and restore and reform Israel before it was too late. These were two great preachers of the Old Testament, faithful servants of God. And what they had begun and restored and renewed, Jesus had come now to complete with his suffering and death in Jerusalem. And so they spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish. Now Moses and Elijah, now glorified and standing on the mountain with Jesus, they certainly were aware of the importance of Jesus' death. They'd been talking about it centuries before. It was the center of their message. They really understood the importance of it. But what about us? What is Christ's death to us? This is the greatest event to ever take place on the earth. Some of you are thinking, what about the resurrection? Well, he wouldn't have been raised from the dead if he hadn't died. This is the greatest event, that the Son of God should die. But what does it do for us? What is it in our day-to-day life? Do we talk about it? Or do we treat death as we did yesterday in that tribute to Whitney Houston as if it's some kind of fairyland? What is death? What power does it have in our own lives and Christ's victory? Does it occupy our conversation from time to time, Christ's death? Or is it a subject that we try to avoid because we don't want to get involved in a religious discussion with anybody? Will we talk about the inglorious death of Christ on the cross and what it means for sinners? How important is the death of Christ to us? Maybe like Peter, James, and John, we need to wake up. The three disciples were heavy with sleep. The likely picture of all of us, Christ's New Testament disciples, because we get really weary too as we climb up the mountain of this life. As we go through the trials and vicissitudes of God's working his will in our lives, we suffer. We get tired, and very often we wish that there was some glory that could suddenly be appearing to us. We long for a vision to pick us up at times. Or even, as serious Christians who like to see more people come to the knowledge of Jesus and get real tired of the fact that most people reject your word, sometimes we just like to see some real outward shining glory to show that the truth is here. Not much different than Peter and the rest of us. When the three disciples, the privileged disciples, became fully awake, they saw Christ's glory and the two men that stood with him. And Peter recognized how wonderful this moment was because the mountaintop was lit up. Christ was glowing everywhere. His robe, his face. Peter had never seen anything like this before. It would be like this church suddenly glowing outside. Imagine the coverage we'd get in here. How did you do that? Well, that's the Lord showing himself upon us. And then Moses and Elijah, they're beginning to leave Jesus. Peter, no more than just wipes the sleep out of his eyes, and he sees this flash of glory like he's never seen before. Now they're all slowly fading away. And Peter panics. He doesn't want all this to fade away. He recognized that this was a really good scene. And it was just what he had wanted for Jesus all along. He didn't want his Savior, whom he loved, to have to go to Jerusalem and die and suffer the way Jesus had been picturing. That's not what Peter had in mind for the Lord. What could be better, Peter thought, than to stay here on the mountain, to bask in the glory? And James and John, did they agree? We don't know. They were speechless. But not Peter. Peter was never speechless. Master, it is good for us to be here, he blurted out. Let us make three tabernacles for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Peter.
we are told, did not know what he said.
Peter's jaws began to flap noisily the way clothes flap noisily on the clothesline when a strong wind comes up. It's all kind of, you know, random. Peter didn't have a clue. He didn't understand what he was saying. But he talked. Now, let me ask you, do we sometimes say things to God in our prayers? Do we suggest things to Him, or do we make requests of Him without understanding? Without acknowledging that He might know better than we, do we whine and complain that things aren't going well?
We don't understand very often the full import of our words or our requests.
Like us, Peter was short-sighted. He didn't understand that before Jesus could go back and return to all the eternal glory he had before he came to earth, first he had to plunge himself into the deep humiliation of the cross and suffer hell for sinners. Peter didn't know this, didn't get it. That and nothing less was the business that the Father in heaven had sent Jesus to accomplish. First the cross, then the glory. Now, today, in a sense, we are standing with the three disciples on the mount. And we are beholding the glory of our Lord momentarily, for a time. We are not yet basking in His eternal glory. The question is then, how do we get from here to there? That's the most important question in our lives. Even as Peter was spouting his foolish proposal, a cloud came and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Now, on Mount Sinai, a dark cloud enveloped. Here, we see a bright cloud. And that's because this cloud symbolizes the grace of God, not the commandments of God and the wrath of God against sin. God suddenly spoke and enveloped them with this cloud to instruct them and to encourage them. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." So with these words and this brief sentence, the Father in heaven testified that this man indeed, that you've been walking with all this time, who's slept with you and he's drunk and eaten and so on at your side, he's the Son of God. He's the eternal Messiah that has been promised by the Old Testament. I have chosen him. Listen to him. Don't argue with him. When the Father had finished speaking, the disciples saw only Jesus alone. As the poor men that they were, they might have entertained the thought briefly of writing a book of what they saw. If only they had a camcorder. Think, they could have taken a moving picture of this, they could have uploaded it on the internet, and think about all the millions of people who would have tuned in. It would have gone viral. And many, many, many millions of people, billions of people, would have seen not only the Lord's glory, but their glorious standing too. And that had appeal. But no, this was not the Lord's will then, and it's not the Lord's will now. First the cross, then the glory. And the church needs to understand this. And the disciples of Christ, those who follow him and take up their cross and follow him, as he said we must do, they must understand this. They must be able to shake the finger and say to Peter, "Peter, shut up. You're talking out of place." The problem is we do the same thing. Now we are to listen to him as he speaks to us in his word. Later, John wrote in his first chapter of his gospel, "We beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten from the Father." John would write about this. He didn't have a camcorder. And later on, Peter would also write that the disciples were eyewitnesses of Christ's majesty. And Peter would write in his epistle that the disciples were not telling, quote, cleverly invented stories, end quote.
When they told about the power and coming of the Lord Jesus, Peter said, no, we've seen his glory with our own eyes. If we want to be basking in the eternal glory of our Lord Jesus, we must first of all listen to him and his word. The same was true of the disciples on the mount. Therefore, we are told they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. Matthew tells us even more. Matthew tells us Jesus said, don't talk about this until after the resurrection, then share it with the brethren. Why? Why hush up such a glorious scene on a mountain? Because faith is not and has never been created by the spectacular. True faith in Christ isn't going to be created if this whole church started to glow and glowed for a whole year and people came from miles around to hear the word. They wouldn't believe because of the glow from without. The time would come when the disciples were to preach the good news throughout the world. And that time is now, and has been for 2,000 years. The message of the transfiguration is important for people at all time, because as Jesus said earlier in his ministry, no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son reveals him. The Lord hasn't chosen to save anyone by what they see with their eyes, but what they hear and believe in their hearts. Faith comes by hearing, and what is heard is the word of God, Paul tells us in Romans 10:17. So God says, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Don't be making the noise of nonsense, God says. Don't begin to offer up your ideas, your goodwill, your intentions. Don't argue with what the Lord tells you. Don't argue with my word like Peter did. Just be quiet and listen. If you listen to him in faith, he will bring you to his eternal glory. For he speaks of this salvation and the hope of this salvation for sinners. Hear him when he says to you, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Listen to him when he's giving from his word guidance for your life. Whether it's about patience or faith in the word of the apostles, whether it's correction when you've sinned, listen to him. Jesus is going to continue to speak to us by means of his words from the cross beginning Wednesday night during our midweek evening devotions. And he will continue to speak to us throughout the year. Listen to him. The hidden glory of our Christ will be revealed at his coming. And then, when that happens, the same Lord who has transfigured our souls already will transfigure our bodies. And then we will stand with Moses and Elijah, glorified, not just on a mountain, but face to face, heaven, with our Lord. Lord, it's good to bask in your glory. But first, let us glory in the cross with the eyes of the bleeding heart. And then, let us glory in heaven with the eyes of our glorified body. First the cross, then the glory. Now may this peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety, because Jesus was glorified on the mount, and you will be glorified one day.